Good afternoon, I'm Khaki Walton. Checking in the Arts is made possible by contributing listeners and the Memphis Pink Palace family of museums. Well, it's the holiday gift-giving season, and what better gift to give, I always say, is than original art. And here to talk about adding to your art collection or giving art as a gift, Pat Brown from T. Clifton Art of the Broad Avenue Arts District, and she's brought with her Linda Hill, who's the art curator for Methodist and LeBonner Hospitals. Nice to see you both this afternoon.
Hi, Khaki.
Well, I can't wait to talk to you, Linda, about you, like the luckiest person in the world next to me because of what you get to do for a living. But I wanted to start off with Pat. Now, at T. Clifton Art, do you and Tom ever see people come in who kind of want to start a collection, but they're just so intimidated by the whole prospect of doing it?
I think daily we talk to folks like that, but particularly this time of year. And so folks will be out, and for this first Friday, we'll be certainly celebrating art and art as a gift. And while we will always have art, whether your budget's $20 or $100 for gifts, this time of year, we see a lot of couples wanting to add or begin an art collection. And instead of getting them each other an individual gift that they may or may not necessarily care for, they'll say, let's invest in our home. And so whether that's a glass sculpture or a painting. And so in thinking about that, we will be talking about that certainly on First Friday this month. But who better than to talk about art collecting than Linda Hill?
Yeah.
We've had the great fortune to work with Linda through the past several years as she's curated collections for Methodist and LeBonner. And certainly the art of healing is critical. And
yeah.
So we wanted to be able to share a little bit about what she does today as people think about whether it's their homes or the environments they work in.
So, Linda, how long have you been doing this?
I've been doing this since 2009. So
really?
Mm-hmm.
This is what I think is so fantastic, that Methodist and LeBonner recognize the importance of art as it relates to the comfort of their patients and just healing in general.
I think there's a shift in healthcare where we are tending to the entire person, the entire family when it comes to children. And so you think more about your physical environment, and it is. I am lucky and fortunate to work for a system that recognizes that original and extraordinary art serves the patients in a way that's it's just they deserve it.
Yeah.
And so anyway, it's just been a it's been a privilege to see this system embrace it.
Yeah. Well, I was telling Pat when y'all arrived earlier, and I had not met you yet, that there's a hospice facility on Quince Road, and my husband was in that facility.
Oh.
So when I went to go tour it, I walked in, and the first thing I saw was a beautiful painting by Matthew Hasty, who happened to be one of my husband's best friends.
Oh, my goodness, Kathy.
And so, I mean, I felt like that. I felt like I was being enveloped by a comforting hug.
You're sweet to share such a personal story, and I'm sorry that's what got you to stand in front of a Matthew Hasty. And Diane Papasan did a wonderful job curating that collection. And that's what art does. There's so many byproducts of it. I mean, it's anytime we do a collection, it's truly for the eyes of the person, the patient,
right,
who needs it most. But then there are all these added benefits that we didn't even know would happen.
Like what?
Well, it projected to you. You were in a hospice place.
Mm-hmm.
Made you feel at home. It also made you feel like this place is extraordinary. There's nothing mediocre about them because they don't allow faded prints on the wall.
Right.
They have gone to the extra trouble of doing something that's noteworthy. I mean, I give art tours all the time at LeBonner.
Really?
I mean, it's Cameron Kitchen, when he was at Brooks, said it was the finest collection of public art in the city.
Oh, my God.
When you think about the number of pieces that we have that you can just walk in and see, or we can give you a tour, it says to everybody, I've come to a place that is an elite hospital.
Mm-hmm.
If they've gone to this much trouble to do this for me, what are they doing in terms of health care? So there are so many other, and it also tells the story. There are other benefits to having a wonderful collection. It is telling the story. I mean, we have pieces that, as we tour people, we can tell them this stands for us being the most important hospital in a 5-state area. Those sorts of things.
Yeah. I mean, the last thing somebody wants to be surrounded, they don't want the sterility of a hospital environment. They want to feel comforted. They want to feel like they just want to feel cared for, and that's one component of feeling cared for.
And the studies show, I mean, when people are distracted, they get their mind off of something, a stress producer.
Mm-hmm.
It aids in their healing. I mean, so that's really what undergirds this. If we can, I mean, when it started in 2009, if a child is going to walk into a building, then that child needs to be reassured, it's for you.
Yeah.
I mean, the lobby of Le Bonheur is a 17.5-foot tall sculpture, all mosaic, of a stylized bird with a child rotating.
Oh.
So immediately, this child is transported. Yeah, this is for me. I'm celebrated. They put me on a pedestal.
Who were some of the artists whose work you've chosen to feature at Le Bonheur and at Methodist?
Oh, gosh, it's just so many. I don't want to leave anybody out. Yeah. But Gene Siegel and Ben Butler and Dolph Smith. We have two huge Dolph Smith installations.
Oh.
Carol Todd. We have George Rodrigue Blue Dog.
So,
we have Herb Williams, who's a Nashville artist that does, his medium is totally crayons.
Oh,
he's
really?
Huge. Mm-hmm, pair of panels. If you're sitting up there, your child is in surgery, you can walk around and see a Leslie Barron or, you know, Mary Cooper Burroughs, and it just goes on and on.
Oh, my gosh.
And then this year, of course, the Shorb Tower at Methodist Hospital opened, and Linda worked. So there you've got people coming in for transplants, and you've got people from around the world coming to Methodist Hospital and Shorb Tower for transplants. And so thinking about different mediums to bring, and we were thrilled that she reached out to us. And so some of the artists that we have at the gallery, whether it's Larry Fox's exceptional wood pieces or Mary Johnston's beautiful landscapes or Paul Welsea's glass, she was including. And what really intrigues us is how Linda and her team put together different mediums of art.
Right.
And so they may combine glass with a painting so that it really allows that painting to go beyond the canvas and envelop that whole room.
Oh, my gosh. I just love this whole thing. What a great conversation to be having. Well, what advice do you have, Linda, for people who want to start their own collection?
I think for a lot of people, it's smart for them to go to a gallery. People are mystified by art. They think they know what's beautiful, and they may have a narrow definition. And if they trust a gallery owner,
mm-hmm.
and this gallery owner has chosen to display people, then it informs them,
uh-huh.
okay, this is someone whose life is studying art.
Right.
So let me be open to what this person has deemed to be beautiful.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a wonderful place to start, because people are, you know, they know, I know what I like when I see it, but sometimes a gallery owner can take them to another level of sophistication, and they're so glad to, you know, have had that advice.
And maybe you've just thought about putting a painting on a wall, but not necessarily a sculpture in your home.
Exactly. I mean, there's so many 3D pieces. Or if you have a collection, your own private collection, that can have different mediums. That's what's been fun to work with Pat. Because we love in these different locations that we've been able to curate collections to combine all kinds of mediums. And you can do that in your home. It makes it something that a visitor comes in and goes, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, it's different.
That wow factor in
exactly.
the foyer.
Wow yourself.
And that's also, as Linda mentioned, is you, whether you come into our gallery or any gallery, what we really strive for is to make sure that it's approachable and that it's a very inviting environment. So we want people who come in who maybe haven't collected art to feel comfortable to ask all those questions.
Yeah.
And, of course, having a 160-pound St. Bernard there keeps us very approachable and comfortable. But we want you to feel and see the art in your home. And be able to be moved by it. And it, and art should be truly something that moves you every day. What
yeah.
do you see in it? And so every piece of art is important if it's important to you.
Right. One thing, I put up my Christmas tree last Sunday. It's still a work in progress. It usually, and it's a little tree, but I futz with it for the entire Christmas season. But every year I try to get a piece of original art by someone local. Mm-hmm. So every time I start unpacking those ornaments, every ornament is special to me because I know who created it. And I remember when I bought it and where I bought it. And that's just a little tiny, tiny grain of sand when you think about how important starting a collection of art is. You know, my little Christmas ornament means something to me. But boy, when you start putting paintings on the wall and sculptures in your home and things like that, to have your own little art museum in your home, it's really special and important.
It is. Or even if you're giving the art, whether right. that's a $35 ornament, an $18 glass ink pen, or a several thousand dollar sculpture, all of those invoke that same special feeling and remind you of either the person who gave it to you or why you as a couple invested in that piece. And then the artist helps you kind of move from what's the day-to-day to what they were trying to invoke.
Yeah.
You know, when they say when you see a piece of art, you like it. When you hear the backstory and you understand what the artist had in mind or what does it mean for your ornaments, where you might have bought them, then you learn to love the art.
Exactly.
When you hear what's behind it.
And I love when you talk about couples that are deciding to maybe forego getting each other a sweater or whatever to invest in something for their home. Because I remember when I got married, I said, okay, we're not having any more prints on the wall. We're not. We're collecting art, you know. And so you do it a little at a time. Because if you're just starting out, you don't have a lot of money, you take it slow. And you get a piece here and you get a piece there. And again, it is a work in progress when you start going down that road. But it's an important process and it's a special process and you're creating a beautiful environment, and that's what you want to welcome people into and you want to see every day.
Don't be afraid of a blank wall until you find that special piece.
Exactly.
Right.
And then it's kind of like you think of your home as your canvas. So just as an artist is constantly working in whatever medium, you are too, and you build that painting of your home and how it reflects you.
Yeah. So you talked about your collaboration on the Shorb Tower, and you've been working for so many years putting art into Methodist and LeBonner facilities. What would you say, how would you try to convince someone else who has a business why they should put art in their environment?
Well, I think a corporate collection is so important. I mean, if you think about how that projects a message.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you go into a Cracker Barrel, they're telling you, just cozy up, down home, order some mac and cheese. And if you go in an Apple store, it's telling you there's the best people in technology are working on your behalf to come up with the next iteration of whatever you're going to buy today.
Right.
That's the look of an Apple store.
Yeah.
So I think if you come up with what you want visitors or your employees, and I think especially be mindful of people who live there. This people's second home.
Uh-huh.
So, choose things that they want to see, that everybody would want to see. I think that those are sort of the guidelines. And make the commitment to doing it, making it special. It'll pay off in a lot of ways. I know at LeBonner it pays off with, hiring new people. People come in and say, we want to be part of something this extraordinary.
Right. Pat, you were telling a little story right before we started recording this interview that about how art can have such a practical purpose. This is the most amazing thing I've ever heard.
Well, and this is one of our other corporate clients came to us looking for art for their new headquarters. But it's an environment that is in a repurposed building, which is fantastic. But that means you've got a lot of concrete and metal and glass. And for office situations, that means the sound just echoes and echoes. And so what we're actually working with them is canvas paintings or even some canvas reproductions, but to then add a layer of soundproofing to those.
Uh-huh.
So art can not only then reflect their brand and certainly the imagery that those on the outside we'll see is what their brand is, but we'll add soundproofing to those canvases to help dull those echoes and clarify the sound in the offices.
I've never heard of such. I mean, is this a new thing?
It's new for us. It's our first time to experiment with it. But again, it's having that partnership with a gallery that you're working with, whether it's a corporation or an individual, and talking about what are you trying to achieve in your environment. And it can be aesthetic, but also it can be functional.
Yeah. Well, I hope everybody's getting inspired for this holiday season. If you're a newlywed, or if you've never taken that leap of starting to purchase original art for your home, I hope this conversation has gotten people excited about doing it. And, you know, I love looking around on my walls at home, and I can't do it very often, but every once in a while I'll get to add a piece, and it means something special to me. And I can go, oh, that's a so-and-so, and that's a so-and-so, and I know these people because they're local, and that makes it even more important. First Friday coming up this Friday, so T. Clifton Art's going to be open late as well as lots of other merchants on the Broad
Avenue.
That
is true. It is First Friday. We are all focused on helping folks with their gift selections, so whether you come to our gallery or any of our neighbors, I know everyone has a wide array of gift options available. So come on out and enjoy our restaurants also Friday evening.
So they'll have some special things going on. You can go to broadavarts.com to find out more about this Friday's First Friday event. That's from 5 to 8, right?
Correct.
5 to 8 p.m. But you can see a list of all the merchants who are participating at broadavarts.com. Visit tcliftonart.com or call them if you need to ask any questions. Their number 323-2787. But celebrate the season by giving or buying for yourself original art. I want to thank Pat Brown from T. Clifton Art and Linda Hill, the art curator for Methodist and Le Bonheur Hospitals, for being my guest this afternoon. This has been such a fun conversation. Thank you both so much.
Thank you. Thanks,
Kaki.